the fifth meditation is found back in John's Gospel, the 19th chapter. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, he simply said, "I thirst." Now, this service always gets me. It just gets me. I can't help it. Got a couple of comments to make, and then we'll dive right into my 45-minute message this morning, titled, "I Thirst." Actually, Father Scott, I thought I should be done at 2 o'clock. It's only 5 minutes. He said, "Take your time. Take your time. You got 5 minutes. Ram it all in." A couple of things. Am I have to be in front of this?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This service always does get me right at the heart. I think the reason it does is because I remember in a theology class, when you experience Christ, when you come to Christ and you say, "Forgive me," you're at the foot of the cross. You're right where we are today. You're right there. You're looking at Jesus. You see him in a whole different way. It's very real to you that you are a sinner and you need God. And so whenever we think of the cross like this, it always reminds me of that day that I finally recognized that Jesus loved me. This I know, right? Anyway, and then I just love that cathedral song. I have to comment on this. I didn't realize that that was what was going to be played. When I first went to Bible college, you know, I was a rocker. And, you know, I liked Hendrix and Joplin and, you know, some of the great old rock and roll music of the day. But I went into this Arlington Baptist College, and these guys, these guys, they're waving at, they're like, I'm like, yeah, I'm connecting. Not at all. These guys, they were playing that good old gospel four-part harmony music. And over the 4 years, 3 years that I lived in the dormitories, I got plenty of that. And I learned to really love that music. And so it was great to hear it. Back in that day, we didn't have five gospel, contemporary gospel channels we could turn on. But today we do, and so that's great. I did want to mention one other thing, and that is that in our prayer today, the thing that we are asking for in this meditation is for protection. And I just want to comment and say it's such a wonderful time in our community that we have an opportunity to vote for a sheriff. We're down to two. Both men are Christians. And there's not a lot of places in America. Honestly, there probably are a lot, but right here in Jacksonville, in what has been the murder capital of Florida, it just struck me that we've got two good men, both of them, good men running for sheriff. And I hope you plan to vote. I voted. My guy didn't win, but I'm telling you, I like both of these guys. Yeah, I don't know who I'm going to vote for. But I will tell you this. In city politics, it's never a Democrat or Republican thing. It never is. This is a non-binding election. And I just want to say that because I get so irritated when I hear Republican, Democrat. In Jacksonville, it has nothing to do with anything. This is about a city. They're not writing laws. They're not writing rules. They're just writing, taking care of the people. And my prayer is that the next sheriff really can connect with the people. The people that in the community that are downtrodden and who are desperate and who commit crimes and put themselves in a very negative light in our community. Anyway, I thirst for that, for a day when Jacksonville will be considered the lowest city. Maybe there's never been a. Maybe there'll be a year where there wasn't one murder, one robbery. Wouldn't that be Incredible. That's worth praying for. Right here. This is where it all hits the road, right here in Jacksonville, Florida. Anyway, that's enough of that. Okay, I've got 1 minute. Pour all this in. I was recently in out west in a western town, and you know, if you travel out west, it's dry. The air is very dry in the west. I was in an arid state. I was in Nevada, and I woke up in the middle of the night, the first night I was there, and my mouth was so dry. I couldn't get anything going, you know. And I have no idea what time it was, but it was in the middle of the night, and I was so thirsty. I grabbed one of those $6 bottles of water that they leave for you. And I think they do it out west. They know you're going to get one. Because I couldn't even make it to the bathroom. My mouth was so dry. Do you ever remember that as a kid when you were playing ball or you were just out just having a great time? Maybe you were dancing, whatever. You were just working and playing and having a good time. And all of a sudden you're like, man, I got to get something to drink. I'm dying of thirst. Happens a lot in sports practices where guys are working hard, they're sweating hard, and all of a sudden they realize they're very, very thirsty. Well, Jesus hadn't been working hard, but he had been beaten hard. And he was longing, I think, as Father Scott mentioned, really from maybe just a purely physical sense, something just to quench his thirst. Just a little something. It's almost all finished now. We're really getting down to the last few minutes of life for Jesus, the man who hangs on the cross. And sometimes we are so far away from it, we spiritualize the cross almost and forget that it was just a guy like me and you that had been abused far worse and tortured far worse than we would consider it completely inhumane today. Completely inhumane. Saddam Hussein has got nothing on these guys. Boko Haram, they got nothing on these Romans that were crucifying people. And these guys. And so Jesus had gone hours and hours and hours, and a tremendous amount of body fluid had been lost. And all he asked for was just a sip of water. Just something to wet his parched lips. Something to dry his throat. He'd been in excruciating pain. And yet he says that in order for the scriptures to be fulfilled, this is another place where it says, in order for the scriptures to be fulfilled, it says, I thirst. So where does that come from? Where does he get that? Maybe Psalm 69. It says, I am weary in my crying, and my throat is parched. My eyes grow dim with waiting for my God. Do not hide your face from my servant, for in my distress make haste to answer me. Draw near to me and redeem me. Set me free of my enemies. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That's Psalm 69. Maybe Jesus was thinking, as Scott has read earlier, the psalmist in 22 cries out, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melts within my breast. My mouth is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. I can't imagine that thirst. I can't imagine that. I was thirsty when I was in that room, but yet I knew there was a bottle of water there. And I got that. And no doubt Jesus was experiencing unimaginable pain. But in this pain, God demonstrates to us that he has felt the pain that we feel. He's felt our illnesses. He's felt our woundedness. He's felt our heartbreak. yet he thirsts deeply on the cross. And amidst the deep pain and desperate pain, Jesus expresses the simple reality. He just begs for just something, just to wet his mouth. And they offer him a bottle of soured wine. Now, how that wine got there, why it was there, who knows? But I'm sure there's some theologians that would tell us why. But that's not the point. The point is that it was soured wine and that the scripture is being fulfilled in this moment of anguish. Jesus said, when I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When he met the woman at the well, he said, I'm thirsty. And she gave him something to drink. And he said, but I'll give you water that you'll never thirst. You'll never have to thirst again. Psalm 42, 1 through 2 says, as a deer longs for the flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God? Jesus, at the end of his human life, yearns with every being in his Father to behold God's face again, I think. I think the thirstiness wasn't just physical, but it was a thirst to see his Father again. It was a thirst more than just physically, it was a spiritual thirst. And now as we come to the end of this dry season, this season of penitence and reflection, we have to ask ourselves, what do we thirst for today? What are we longing for? What's this time of Lent, of penance, of reflection? What is God saying to us now? Where is he leading us? You could almost say thirst and passion. What are we passionate for? What are we thirsty for? What are we hungering for? If you're thirsty, even the least little bit, for spiritual reality, Jesus invites us, in fact, welcomes us, to yearn and come take a sip of the waters of life, to drink the cup in his presence. Jesus' ministry was launched at a wedding, at a merry celebration. With the wedding of Cana of Galilee, everyone knows the story. The pots of water are brought in, the big pots. And they're miraculously changed into wine. Not wine, but good wine. I love good wine. Wish I would have been there. I can't imagine what Jesus is going to be serving up in heaven. Do you know what I'm saying? This is the wine of life. The wine that he offered to the people at Cana at the wedding was the wine of life. Was the life wine of freedom, of fun, of celebration. His ministry ends here with a much crueler, darker setting. It's a jar filled with sour wine. Cheap sour wine. An offer to his parched lips, the end of a hyssop branch. This is the wine of death. You ever had sour wine? I've had it. You spit it out. It's horrible. It's nasty. Doesn't taste good at all. Have you ever drank vinegar? I have a friend of mine who does it all the time. He drinks it every day. I'm like, ugh. He says, oh yeah, I'm going to live forever, I think. And this stuff is the miracle stuff. You've heard about that. The nurses probably know about this. It's a little secret. But yuck. This was the wine of death. That jug represents the wine of death. But we can remember Christ's life in his death with the wine of the Eucharist. His blood shed on the cross. Remembering him and honoring him fully for the sacrificial love every time we come to the table. This is the wine of love. It's the feast of love. So today when we partake in his body and blood, we can remember the three wines. We can remember the celebration that we'll get to partake in on Sunday. the celebration of life. And we can remember the sour wine. It's unfortunately the wine of death. But then we can be renewed and changed forever as we partake in the celebration of love. What is it that you're thirsty for today? What is it that you long for? How thirsty are you?